Move on, and the next presentation is by Brent Gary and Jacob Leecher and Nicholas Warner, and it's called titled Current Research Issues for Lunar Sinuous Rills, Valles Schroderi, Aristarchus Plateau, the Moon, and the talk will be given by Brent Gary.
Thanks, Dave. How do we do this? Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to the session chairs for allowing me to talk about the Moon, and I would like to thank my co-authors, Nick Warner, for providing a few slides, and then Jake for didn't provide anything, but he provided the beer, so he got to be second author. And just joking. Nick's defending next week, so we got to be kind to him. So good luck, Nick, and moving off to London. But this, what I'm presenting to you today, started off was a project with Nick, trying to do some quantitative modeling of the emplacement of Schroeder's Valley. And that kind of worked into some of the field work that Jake and I have been doing over the last couple of years, and trying to come up with a more, qualitative explanation for what we're seeing with the morphology of Schroeder's Valley, and trying to take aspects that we see of these lava flows and eruptions and observations from terrestrial eruptions that other people have observed in the past, and apply them to try to explain the morphologic relationships that we see with Schroeder's Valley and the Aristarchus Plateau. So this is going to be a very qualitative talk today, and trying to envision what was going on with these various aspects that we observed on Schroeder's Valley. So rills or rill-like features, they're observed on Earth. Here's Lava Beds National Monument, observed on the Moon, Tharsis region on Mars and Venus. So the overall morphology of these features look fairly similar, but their origins might be different. So this could be volcanic, or it might be fluvial in nature. So how do we get these similar looking features? What are their origins, even though they're on very different bodies, and how do they form? And so we're going to focus on the lunar rills today, and there's Schroeder's Valley down there. There's been multiple ideas for how rills have formed through time. Kind of after Apollo 15, it was pretty much a volcanic origin that's been accepted, but that's also providing a very general, form. It's like asking me what kind of ice cream I want, or, that if you just want ice cream for dinner. For dinner, because I do eat ice cream for dinner. But I do. It's grad school. It's cheap. But there's a little, for those who have been in the field and seen some eruptions, they know it's a little more complex than that. A lava flow just came down and formed a rill. So what are some ideas for how these rills have formed? One idea is that they're lava channels. Here's Mauna Ulu in the background on Kilauea Volcano. This is looking upstream. This is maybe about 3 meters wide, but you have a channel here, no real definite defined levees on either side. The problem with this one is if you look downstream, this transitions a few kilometers away into a more of an AA flow with a defined flow margin. So it is tough to really find sort of a rill-like feature on Earth in some places, but here's sort of a segment of a lava channel that does represent what a rill looks like. Other ideas have been collapsed lava tubes. This is Skull Cave and Lava Beds National Monument, approximately where the star is down here. This is Jim Zimmelman for scale. Here is another collapsed lava tube that Jake and I were just visiting out at the Bandera Flow. So this is looking upstream. Here it is in a Google Earth image and where we got to walk around. But so looking at this feature, what are we, are we looking at lava channels when we're talking about rills? Are we looking at collapsed lava tubes when we're looking at rills? Or is it a combination? Is there one process might not explain every rill that we see on the Moon? So some of the overarching questions that we're kind of looking at is what are the emplacement processes, or what emplacement processes are responsible for the morphology that we observe? What are the roles of thermal erosion, mechanical erosion, construction, so kind of overflow of the of a channel, and how does that contribute to what we see with the rill morphology? And then what can the stratigraphic, trying to work in stratigraphy like Noah did, stratigraphic context of the rills reveal about their origin? So I'm not saying I'm going to provide answers to all this, but these are sort of what we need to begin to continue to explore. Brief overview of Aristarchus Plateau. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it. Topographic high off Oceanus Procolarum, about 2 kilometers of relief and sloping to the north-northwest, invaded by lavas from Oceanus Procolarum. Here is Schroeder's Valley begins in the center part of the plateau, and it kind of curves up and out, and it drains into Oceanus Procolarum. And then there's a very complex stratigraphy, which could be its own talk in itself, and I won't dare to really start, but here's a bunch of nice little papers that will get you started on the stratigraphy there. But essentially, we're looking at a mixture of highlands material, we're looking at lava flows, we're looking at impact ejecta, and we're looking at dark mantling deposits. So it's everything a lunar geologist could ever want all in one little spot. So to focus on Schroeder's Valley, there are 3 key morphologic features that I want to discuss today. So here is the source vent area, and the flow direction is down here. This is sort of looking, south-southwest. Oceanus Procolarum is this way. Is the Cobra Head area, which is this dome material around surrounding the source vent area, the primary rill, which is the wider section that you see here. And then there's this inner rill that's along the floor, and then cross-cuts the primary rill and extends even further out into Oceanus Procolarum. So what I'm going to be talking about is ideas or ways based on terrestrial observations that we might, or that these morphologic features could be established. So to begin with the Cobra Head, again, it's a mound that surrounds sort of the source vent area. Here it is on topographic map and one of the Apollo images, about a basal diameter of about 35 kilometers stretching across there in a relief of about 900 meters. Part of it is contaminated by impact ejecta. Some people like impact ejecta. For volcanologists, it just gets in our way, like cactuses on the lava flow. And so some other little things here, besides trying to understand of how this mound of material formed and what is it composed of, is also one of the little stratigraphic things here. Are you see this high little albedo unit right inside the source vent region. So is that exposure of probably some highland material beneath that that's part of the original ejecta block of Aristarchus Plateau, or is it ejecta that's kind of done a hole-in-one from Aristarchus and lobbed its way into that source region? So it's questions like that that we still need to start driving home and trying to answer about this rill in this area as part of understanding its stratigraphy and its history. So how did the Cobra Head originate? Off to the right here is an image of the early stages of Pu'u'o'o in Hawaii. You have a little cone here forming up, some fire fountaining, some lava flows going off the edge, off the flanks here, and then it's feeding sort of a breach this way and feeding a nice little lava channel, braided channel right here, heading towards the ocean. Maybe something similar to that happened with Schroeder's Valley. Maybe we had a lava flow begin to originate, and there are some lava flows as well as some fire fountaining events that have gone on in this region to begin to really build up this area. You can also envision more of a sheet flow kind of extending out this way, as well as kind of covering Aristarchus Plateau. But so this is one idea, or is it? And here's the Bandera crater in New Mexico, kind of also a very similar morphology. Again, this is terrestrial. So what would this geomorphology look like for this eruption on the moon? You have here on Earth, we have a nice little cone that's built up. We have a little lava tube that's coming this way. This is a sag in the lava tube that goes down 20, 30 meters, actually, kind of indents, but the roof of the tube has kind of sagged in. Here. So we have a similar looking morphology, but whether or not this is the exact emplacement process that has formed this, that is also of question. And here's where it is located in the El Mapis National Monument, and this is the McCarty's flow. This is about 45 kilometers long right there. So you have Aristarchus Plateau. There's more than probably one eruption going on up there, and so this area is also multiple eruptions that have kind of coalesced and formed a complex stratigraphy in this area. So what is the complex stratigraphy of the lava flows that have occurred on Aristarchus Plateau? Another idea is maybe there were no real fire fountaining events that contributed to the formation of this dome. Maybe it was just more of a effusive lava flows coming out and building up as the primary flow direction was going a different way. to go onto the primary rail, about 125 kilometers long, 2 to 11 kilometers wide, you know, up to almost 600 meters deep. There are some outcrops exposed on the upper rail walls. So what does that explain about the stratigraphy? What can we get with higher resolution data from LROC? You know, what might that tell us? What would a visit, a sortie mission, I would like an outpost mission, but a sortie mission to another rail feature like Halley Rail or even Aristarchus be able to tell us about what's going on with the formation of the rails there? The flat rail, or the flat floor, or the rail has a flat floor and then also has the inner rail going around it. And then this kind of curious distal scarp. Some of the rails that I've observed, they kind of just kind of continue to drain out and grade out, but this one has this pretty curious scarp here and also is cross-cut by the inner rill, where the inner rill continues to extend a little further down. So how is the primary rill established? To go back to some of the stratigraphy, well, one of the ideas is, or one of the questions is, what was the substrate material that this lava flow was in place on? Was it highland material? Was it another lava flow? Was there a mantled pyroclastic deposit that it erupted on initially? And how did that substrate material affect how the path of the rill was established, or establishing just the rill itself? Some of the other things to look at are topographic highs of that might have influenced where the lava flow went. This is a kind of the rim of a crater here that I believe it kind of banked up along and wiggled away down through there towards Oceanus Procolarum. So what is the influence of the previous topography in this region? Also, some of the pre-existing structures that have been inferred based on the linear alignment of some of the segments of the rill. These are relatively parallel to, if we zoomed out to Aristarchus plateaus, to some of the boundaries or the trends of the boundaries of the whole plateau itself. So how might have pre-existing structures influenced where the rill was and or where the rill went? How did the rill reach its depth? Was thermal erosion involved? Was there just a sheet flow and it eventually cut down into several units below it? Was there some mechanical erosion of weaker material below it? Dave Williams has talked, and others have talked about high flow rates and superheated lava flows influence sort of some of the thermal erosion and mechanical erosion going on. And then construction. Maybe there's been some overflow. So as well as we might be combining some of these ideas, but also overflow of the levees or of the channel walls and building up, constructing some levees and flow margins around it to increase its depth. So going on to the inner rill here, it's about 165 kilometers long. Again, it breaches the primary rill wall and continues on in Oceanus Procolarum, up to about a kilometer wide and up to about 146 meters deep. Has these great gooseneck meanders. I mean, these are just beautiful. So this is a lunar orbiter image. And I have no way to explain these just yet. I'm sure people are working on them. But again, current research issues. That's what we're talking about. If we had all the answers, we'd have to, you know, find another day job. And I don't want to have to do that just yet. Crosscuts the distal wall again, as I've just showed here. Zooming in, is this sort of an oxbow? These have been described, these inner rills, and especially this one. You know, it's very similar to what we see in terrestrial fluvial features, and like rivers, meandering rivers. But still, you think of water flowing down here on Earth, but I still have no idea how to create an oxbow type lake. You know, oxbow bend. This might continue right through here. I can't tell just yet, but it's definitely a very sharp bend there. How do you create that with the lava flow going down? And also working with post-emplacement processes that have affected. So we have degradation of the rill wall here sort of covering up initial portions or portions of the inner rill. So it's not only what was going on before the emplacement, but also what has gone on to give us the current stratigraphic view that we observe. So what was the rheology like? What was the substrate material like for this inner rill? Here, zooming in a little more, sorry, I don't have a scale bar, but you have some outcrops and some boulders there. So we can get some really neat shots and images of the rill walls here. And what can the stratigraphy of these walls reveal? So when we go back, what kind of data, you know, with a human mission, do we want to collect to help us reveal the origin more about these rails? So moving on, sort of a little schematic sequence on the formation of sort of the distal scarp here, as well as how this crosscut formed. Now this sort of just implies that it was sort of a singular eruption coming through here. And I'll show you just sort of a sequence of events that I'm envisioning of how this could have occurred. You have the initial lava flow coming down, forming the primary rill here. The flow front encounters and kind of stalled by some of these topographic highs here. There is a buried, what I'm inferring to be a buried crater in this region that the flow probably came up along its rim and probably backed up a little. So we have some topographic influence here, stalling where the primary rill was. Bruce Campbell had a paper, and others had a paper earlier this year, and where they were looking at ground-based radar observations and some lightly mantled lava flows that they interpreted to be overflow of lava from these rills. And so you might have had some backup material going, our backup flow, kind of our lava backing up over here and then overflowing in between these topographic highs, forming another preferred channel branch. Here's an example of something like that going on here on Earth. This is the 1984 Mauna Loa flow. And this is the kind of the main flow going on here, the flow lobe 1. And then there was a backup due to its own damming processes. And the flow was eventually diverted to form a sort of a parallel lobe. So here on Earth, we have in our eruptions, you know, we have areas where there's been backup in the channel, there's been overflow, and it totally creates a totally diverts the lava into a totally different channel system, or totally new channel system. So what might have occurred is after that backup has occurred, you have a channel overflowing that original margin, slowly cutting down. We have material that was at the flow front that didn't really drain back and kept this area inflated. Some of this material did drain out or subsided, forming this outer scarp, this distal scarp here, while the majority of the material continued to flow out into Oceanus Procellarum, and who knows where it is now, because it's very difficult to actually trace any deposit of material out that way. So that's just one idea. I'm not saying it's correct, and I still have, you know, there's probably some holes in it, so I'm, you know, willing to listen to different ideas for how this might have occurred. This is just one area. Jim Zimmelman and others has a paper in press for the 1907 lava flow. And this, so here we're on the southern end of the Big Island. This is the flow here. There's an eastern limb and the western limb. And the western limb is where the material was, the flow was diverted. The eastern limb was in place first and never reached the ocean. So looking down here, these are deep differential GPS profiles that I don't really want to get into, but this last one sort of down here shows there's probably a wide channel. You can see where there's a just a slight lower topography there where the channel was. And then you have this distal end. It might be hard to see right here. I need to stretch it a little more. 2 minutes. Okay, great. But this area is higher than where, if you go back up upstream just a little, where this channel area is. So this might be similar to what we're seeing at the distal end of the primary rill, where we have material that you don't see where a defined channel is, and you see where it's at a higher topography. Then if you go upstream a little, you get where the defined channel ends. So this might be analogous to what we're seeing on Schroeder's Valley there. So just as a summary, observations of terrestrial volcanic processes and features provide possible explanations for what we're seeing on Schroeder's Valley. There's different ideas for how these morphologic features have formed. Could be any combination of things, but these are some of the ones we kind of like. Again, there's still a lot to do with the stratigraphic context of learning more about the stratigraphy of Aristarchus Plateau and where the real, you know, lies in that stratigraphy and in the time sequence there to understand its influence on the emplacement. Still need to work dark mantle deposits or deposits into the story, so we haven't started doing that yet. And we have more work that Jake and I are doing in the field related to the MAMA program, of really trying to look at lava tubes and channels. So when we do go back, what kind of instruments do we want to use to help us understand these lava flows and real features on back on the moon. So what can we, what kind of data sets can we collect that will give us good information when we get back there? Still some more modeling, geologic mapping, and I'm sure the various satellite missions that are going to go back to the moon will help us answer some questions, but most likely they will provide a lot more questions than answers, which would be great because that'll give more people more projects to work on. So thank you very much for your time.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.